Frank rode on toward the Montero Ranch, giving the oil derricks he passed a wide berth. Rattigan had mentioned a man named Magnuson and indicated that the drillers worked for him. Frank wondered how many of the wells he was passing belonged to Magnuson. When he came to a long tree-lined ridge, Frank thought back to the markings on the map Stafford had shown him, and he knew that he was getting close to the ranch.
I'm probably on the Montero Range already.
Not surprisingly, when Frank topped the ridge, he spotted a large number of cattle grazing on the grassy hills that rolled gently away to the north and west. He reined in and rested his hands on the saddle horn, leaning forward in the leather to ease his back. It was mighty pretty country he saw in front of him. Not too many trees, but plenty of grass. Canyons in the foothills on both sides of the valley would offer some shelter in case of bad weather, but Frank knew that the climate here was usually some of the most pleasant to be found anywhere. It was easy to see why the Californios, who had settled here when Spain still ruled the region, had picked this valley for their ranchos. While he was stopped on top of the ridge getting the lay of the land, Frank fished a spare shirt out of his saddlebags and put it on in place of the oil-stained one. He couldn't do anything about the jeans he wore. He would have to put up with them being dirty until he got back to town. Feeling more presentable, he stowed the stained shirt away and rode on. Frank hadn't gone very far when several men on horseback emerged from some trees and came toward him. He could tell that they carried themselves with a certain wariness, and considering the history of trouble in the valley, he didn't blame them. There were four men, Frank saw as they drew closer, a couple of vaqueros in charro jackets and broad-brimmed sombreros. The other two riders were gringo, wearing dusty range clothes. All four men were well armed. One of the vaqueros packed two irons, the belts crisscrossing around his hips, and the others sported one revolver apiece. Winchesters jutted up from saddle boots on all four mounts, though. Frank kept riding until he was about 20 yards from the men, then he reined in to wait for them to come to him. They did so, fanning out so that they faced him in a widespread line. If any gunplay broke out, not even the drifter would be able to drop all four men before one of them ventilated him. Smart, he thought, and it showed that they were used to trouble. Frank kept Stormy's reins in his left hand and raised his right, palm out, to show them that he wasn't looking for a fight.
Howdy. You fellas from the Montero Ranch?
What business is it of yours? Who are you, mister?
Name's Frank. Thought maybe I'd talk to the Ramrod and see if the spread's hiring right now.
El gringo luce muy viejo para ser un vaquero.
Frank caught enough of the words of what the hombre was saying to know that it was a comment on how old he was.
I can still make a hand.
From the looks of that grease on your jeans, you've been making a hand on one of those damn drilling rigs.
Not hardly. I had a run-in back up the road with a whole wagon load of drillers. One of them climbed down and said he was going to teach me a lesson. I reckon he was the one who got taken to school, though.
You happen to catch the name of the man you tangle with, senor?
His name was Hatch.
You beat Hatch in a fair fight?
I did.
How do we know you're telling the truth?
Because I'm not in the habit of lying.
No offense, mister. We believe you, don't we, boy?
Sure. See?
It's just that we had a whole passel of trouble around here lately. Stock rustled, cowboys bushwhacked, water holes poisoned. You name it, it's been happening. And those damn oil drillers are behind all of it. Can't blame us for being a mite leery of a man with grease on his pants, even one wearing a Stetson like yours.
No offense, I reckon. If you hombres want to point me toward the ranch headquarters, I'd be much obliged.
We'll do better than that. We'll take you there.
The riders swung around and pretty much surrounded Frank as they continued along the road from Los Angeles. Despite their vigilance, they were friendly enough, and Frank quickly learned their names. The two white cowboys were Thackeray and Bullard. The vaqueros were called Santiago and Lupe, short for Guadalupe.
I heard talk in Los Angeles about the trouble you've been having up here. Sounds like things have gone to hell since those oil drillers came in.
Yeah, there's been drilling in the valley for a long time. Never like it's been the past couple of years, though. Damn, derrick's sprouting up all over like weeds. If you've been to town like you said, you know it's even worse there.
You can't hardly see the houses because all the derricks.
That's the way it'll be out here in the valley if the drillers have their way. They're trying to crowd out the ranchers who've been here for 100 years or more. They don't give a damn about cattle and horses. They just want that damn stinking oil.
Folks use the stuff for a lot of different things now.
And they got along just fine without it for a lot of years before that. As far as I'm concerned, we don't need it. We can get along without it.
The ranch headquarters came into view. A large group of buildings sprawled along the bank of a narrow creek, including a massive barn, a number of adobe shacks that were probably used for storage, and a blacksmith shop, a long, low adobe building that had to be the bunkhouse and the hacienda itself. A huge, beautiful house of whitewashed adobe with red tile roofs in the Spanish style on the various wings. Looking at it, Frank found it easy to believe that the Montero family had been the leading citizens in the valley for a long time.
Who's the foreman?
Pete Linderman's a ramrod.
Think he's looking to take on another hand?
I couldn't say. We lost a boy yesterday, so he might. Even if Pete wants to hire you, though, Señor Montero will have the final say.
They had to pass the bunkhouse to get to the hacienda. As the group of riders rode past, several men emerged from the building, no doubt drawn by the hoofbeats. They looked curiously to see who the stranger was accompanying the Montero hands. That was when one of them suddenly clawed his gun out of its holster and ran forward.
That's him, damn it! That's the gunslinging bastard who killed Lonnie!
Even though Frank hoped to obtain the cooperation of the folks on the Montero spread, he wasn't going to just sit there and let Jeff run up and shoot him, as the young cowboy seemed intent on doing. Frank's hand started to move toward the butt of his Colt, but before he was forced to draw, one of the men who had come out of the bunkhouse with Jeff lunged after the youngster and grabbed his collar. He slung the cowboy roughly to the ground and then kicked the gun out of Jeff's hand. The man was stocky, with the permanently bowed legs and ruddy face of a man who spent most of his life in the saddle. Graying blonde hair showed under his battered Stetson.
You damn fool! You think Morgan was just gonna sit there and let you plug him? I swear, Jeff, sometimes you're so stupid I think I should've let him blow a hole in you.
Oh, Pete! He killed Lonnie!
Because Lonnie was an even bigger idiot than you and drew on Frank Morgan. I'm obliged to you for not ventilating this loco young pup, Mr. Morgan.
I'm glad I didn't have to. I reckon you'd be Pete Linderman, the ramrod hereabouts?
Yeah, I'm Linderman. I won't say it's good to meet you. What are you doing out here anyway?
Now, he said he was looking for a job, Pete. Now, he didn't tell us he was a gunslinger. Or that he was the one who killed Lonnie.
Why's a drifter looking for a job like any grubline rider, especially here?
A man's gotta eat. As for Lonnie, I didn't have any idea he rode for the Monteros. And if Jeff told you the truth about what happened yesterday, you'd know that he didn't give me any choice. I tried to handle it without having to shoot him.
Yeah, I reckon. Lonnie was a hothead right enough. Thought he was fast on the draw and was anxious to prove it. But he was one of us. You can't expect us to welcome you with open arms, mister, no matter what happened.
What's going on over there, Pete?
Everyone looked around, including Frank. He saw a tall, lithe figure striding toward them. The woman carried herself with a confidence that bordered on arrogance. If beauty counted for anything, she had good reason to be confident. She was strikingly attractive. Tight black leather trousers hugged her legs and hips. She wore a matching black vest over a bright red silk shirt. Thick, wavy hair, as dark as midnight, tumbled around her shoulders. At first glance, Frank thought she was in her 20s, but as she came closer, he saw that she was older than that, with a few lines of experience around her eyes and mouth that did little, if anything, to detract from her beauty. From the imperious way she sounded and the way she carried herself, she had to be one of the Monteros, Frank decided, probably the daughter of old Francisco and Dolores.
This is nothing you need concern yourself with, ma'am. This fella showed up looking for a job, but I was just about to tell him that we don't need any more hands right now.
But what about Lonnie? We need someone to replace him, don't we? And what are you doing lying on the ground, Jeff?
He's the one who killed Lonnie! He's Frank Morgan, the gunfighter!
Is this true?
I'm afraid so.
You got in a gunfight with a young man who was still wet behind the ears and killed him?
Only after he took a shot at me. I give you my word, miss. I didn't set out to kill Lonnie. He forced me into it.
Is he telling the truth? Well?
I reckon it's true enough. Morgan walloped Lonnie and then tried to leave without any shooting, but Lonnie threw down on him. Can't expect a man to just stand there and let somebody blaze away at him.
No, I suppose you can't. Very well, Mr. Morgan. I agree with Pete that hiring you wouldn't be wise. But hospitality demands that we not turn you away empty-handed. Feel free to water your horse and your dog, and you'll stay for lunch.
I'm obliged to you, Señorita. But maybe you better check with your mother. make sure it's all right to be handing out invitations like that.
I'll take care of his horse for him, Señor Montero.
Thank you, Pete. Well, Mr. Morgan, are you coming in?
Yes, ma'am. I'm obliged for the hospitality.
Don't make more of it than it is. I'd extend the same invitation to almost anyone. Except perhaps that snake, Victor Magnuson.
Dolores Montero turned and walked toward the sprawling adobe ranch house, providing an interesting view in those snug leather trousers. Frank paused before following her to talk to Linderman.
Better keep an eye on that stallion. He gets it into his head sometimes to take a nip out of somebody's hide.
Thanks for the warning. Is that dog gonna tear my throat out if I get too close to him?
Not unless I tell him to.
Frank was grateful for the coolness generated by the thick adobe walls as he stepped into the house behind Dolores Montero.
Would you like a drink?
It's mighty early in the day for that. I'll take a cup of coffee, though, if you got any handy.
Of course. Pilar?
A heavyset woman who looked more Indian than Mexican came into the room a moment later.
Senora?
A cup of coffee for Mr. Morgan, and I'll have one too.
Si, senora.
Frank was looking around the room while his hostess talked to the servant. It was a very masculine place, all dark wood and heavy furniture and thick woven rugs on the floor. Mounted on the wall above a massive fireplace was the head of a bear, its mouth open so that its teeth showed in a menacing snarl.
My husband's grandfather killed that bear. In those days, there were many of the creatures around here. They were very dangerous. But Francisco's grandfather slew that one with a single shot from a pistol. God was smiling on him that day.
I'd say so.
Francisco, that is your name, is it not, Mr. Morgan?
Well, I've always gone by Frank, but I reckon it's pretty much the same thing.
You were shocked to find that the widow Montero was so young.
No reason you shouldn't be young.
I was not my husband's first wife. He outlived her by a number of years. Unfortunately, he outlived all their children, too. So, in the end, I was all he had. And in the end, I was not enough for him.
Before she could say anything else, Pilar reappeared with a silver tray containing two cups of thick black coffee. She set the tray on a brilliantly polished hardwood table with thick, ornately carved legs.
Gracias.
Dolores then picked up one of the cups and offered it to Frank.
Muchas gracias.
He waited until she had her cup. The coffee was as potent as it appeared, which was just fine with him. He had always liked his coffee strong enough to get up and walk around on its own hind legs.
So tell me, Mr. Morgan, what really brings you out here? I cannot believe that a famous man such as yourself would truly be seeking a job as a vaquero.
Everybody's gotta eat.
You don't get any income from the dime novels that are written about you?
Not a penny. All those stories are made up anyway. I'm surprised you even know about them.
Such stories are popular in the bunkhouse, I'm told. I see them from time to time, but I'm afraid I've never read one.
Well, you're not missing much.
I stay busy taking care of the ranch. I feel I owe that to my late husband. Salida del Sol has been in his family for many generations.
Sunrise.
Named by Francisco's great-great-grandfather, because he first saw the land here by the light of the rising sun one morning, when he came here to settle and establish a ranch. It's been known by that ever since.
I like it. It suits the place.
It is my home, and I will defend it to the death. If that barbarian has hired you to force me out with your gun, you'll find it's not so easy a job.
Hold on there, Senora. Nobody's hired me to do anything of the sort. Like I keep telling people, I'm not a hired gun.
Sorry to bother you, Senor, but somebody's coming.
Another visitor so soon? Who is it, Pete?
Looks like that son of a... I mean, it looks like Victor Magnuson. And I expect he's hunting more trouble.
Magnuson?
I tell you, I don't have anything to do with the man. I've never seen him before.
Of course. Well, you're about to see him now.
Exactly who is this hombre, Magnuson?
Oh, Victor Magnuson is the most successful wildcatter in the valley. He has wells all over, and he insists that the largest pool of oil is under the Montero Range, and he wants it.
If he's right, and the oil really is down there, why don't you go after it yourself?
This is a cattle ranch, not an oil field. I don't want anything to do with that foul stuff.
Life doesn't always give you a choice.
What do you want me to do, ma'am? The boys and me can run Magnuson off if you like.
Not unless he starts trouble. If he just wants to talk, I'll talk to him.
Si, senor.
My apologies, Mr. Morgan. It appears that lunch may be delayed.
That's quite all right. I'm a mite curious about Mr. Magnuson myself.
Dolores gave him a still skeptical look and then went to the door, which Linderman had left open. Frank followed, settling his hat on his head again. They went through a flower-bedecked courtyard and out a black wrought iron gate in the adobe wall that surrounded the hacienda. Frank spotted the buggy rolling toward the ranch house, its wheels and the hooves of the two horses pulling it kicking up a spiral of dust behind the vehicle. The man at the reins appeared to be alone in the buggy. Pete Linderman stood near the bunkhouse with several of the hands, including Jeff. Magnuson drove the buggy into the yard between the hacienda and the bunkhouse and brought the two horses to a halt. When Magnuson stepped down from the buggy, Frank saw that he was tall and brawny in a brown tweed suit. His shoulders stretched the fabric of the coat. A darker brown hat was crammed down on fiery red hair. A spade beard of the same blazing shade jutted from a pugnacious jaw.
Hold on there, Magnuson. What's your business here?
I want to talk to Senora Montero. And don't try to tell me she's not here, because I can see her right there.
I'm the foreman here. You got a question about the ranch, you can talk to me.
I want to talk to her about that man right there.
You mean Morgan?
I don't know what his name is, and I don't care. All I know is that he viciously attacked and injured one of my men a little while ago. I was on my way out from town when I ran into a wagon load of my drillers coming off their shift. The injured man was on the back of the wagon. They said he was attacked by a Montero cowboy, and that man matches the description.
You've got it wrong, Magnuson. Morgan doesn't work for us. Never has, and likely never will.
Well, he looks right at home to me.
Linderman's right. I don't work for Senora Montero. It's true that I rode out here thinking I might get hired, but that's not gonna happen. As for what happened out there on the road, your men told you their version, and it doesn't exactly match up with the truth.
Are you calling my men liars?
If they say that I attacked them, they are. I moved aside to let the wagon pass. I wasn't looking for trouble. Your men are the ones who stopped and provoked a fight. Hatch got down from the wagon and started throwing punches. I didn't have much choice except to throw some of my own back at him.
You seem to get in a lot of jams where you don't have any choice but to hurt somebody, Morgan.
Hush up, kid.
What's he talking about? Just who are you, mister?
He's Frank Morgan. He's nothing but a no-good murdering gunfighter.
Frank Morgan, eh? I've been in the West long enough to hear plenty about you, Morgan, and none of it good. It said you killed more men than Billy the Kid, John Wesley Hardin, and Bid Thompson put together.
I don't keep count of things like that. I just do what I have to do to stay alive.
Well, you'll find that attacking my men was a mistake. I'm going to swear out a warrant for your arrest. By God, I may not have been able to prove that the Montero Ranch hands are responsible for all the deviltry going on out in the valley. But I've got 10 witnesses to testify against you, sir.
You mean 10 witnesses to lie for you?
We'll just see about that.
Mr. Magnuson, Mr. Morgan is my guest, and I'm not going to stand by and see him abused and insulted in this way. If you don't have anything else to say, I'll thank you to leave.
I'll leave when I'm good and ready.
Linderman and the other members of the crew stepped forward, their faces set in angry lines, their hands close to their guns. Dolores lifted a hand just enough to signal to Linderman and the others that they should stay back.
You've overplayed your hand by hiring a gunfighter, Senora. The law won't have any choice but to be on my side now.
The law was already on your side. The sheriff has done nothing about all the shots your drillers have taken at my men. He doesn't even try to track the cattle your men steal from my herds.
My men are not thieves. How dare you insinuate?
I dare because this is my ranch. I dare because I give the orders here. And I'm ordering you now to get off Montero Range, Magnuson. Get off or I won't be responsible for what happens.
All right. I'll go. But this isn't over yet, Senora. Not by a long shot. You'd do well to remember that, Morgan.
I intend to remember everything that's happened here today, mister. And I got a good memory for jackasses.
Why, you... no...
Magnuson's hands clenched into fists. Frank thought for a second that the Wildcatter was going to take a swing at him. And he thought wearily that if that happened, he supposed he and Magnuson would have to go around and around too. Or maybe not. Because Linderman and the other cowboys might actually pitch in to help him. Right now, it was probably a toss-up which of the two of them the Montero hands hated more, him or Magnuson. Magnuson stalked back to his buggy, though, and climbed up into the vehicle, his movements stiff with anger. He jerked the reins loose from where he had tied them around the brake and slapped the lines against the backs of the team, then hauled hard to turn the horses as they started moving. Magnuson drove away from the hacienda.
Well, I seem to have been wrong about you, Mr. Morgan. You're not working for Victor Magnuson after all.
Not unless he's putting on a mighty good act.
That man couldn't put on an act like that. That would require intelligence and subtlety. Two things in which Victor Magnuson is sorely lacking. Don't take this to mean that anyone on the ranch has grown fond of you, Mr. Morgan. There's still the matter of what happened to Lonnie. But Jeff made it clear that Lonnie started the trouble. I'll make sure Pete and the rest of the men understand that you're not to be harmed while you're on Montero Range. At least not by anyone who works here. I can't speak for interlopers such as Magnuson.
I'll take my chances with him.
We all take our chances with life, don't we? Come along. Pilar should have lunch ready soon.
Frank and Dolores went back into the hacienda. She took his hat this time, since he was going to be staying for a while, and hung it on a set of antlers mounted on the wall near the door for that purpose.
Su comida está servida, señora.
Gracias, Pilar. This way.
She led Frank into a large, airy room dominated by a long, heavy hardwood table. Tall windows looked out on a garden courtyard built in the center of the hacienda. Water trickled from a fountain into a pool in the middle of the courtyard. The pool was surrounded by bright flowers, and ivy climbed sinuously up the walls surrounding the courtyard. Pilar already had the food on the table. Warm tortillas, beans, strips of roasted beef, chilies. There was nothing fancy about the fare, but it looked good to Frank. Tasted good, too, he discovered as he and Dolores sat down and began to eat. Pilar appeared again and filled glasses with dark red wine. Frank enjoyed the food and enjoyed the company as well, although Dolores was still a bit cool and reserved. She wasn't going to forget that he had killed one of her ranch hands, no matter what the circumstances had been.
Tell me about the trouble you've been having.
Why? Not to be rude, but our problems are no business of yours, Mr. Morgan.
Call me curious, I guess. And call me Frank, too.
I think I prefer Mr. Morgan.
As you will, Senora.
Our troubles began even before my husband's death. Victor Magnuson and other wildcatters approached Francisco and attempted to make arrangements to drill for oil on our range. He refused, of course, telling them the same thing I told you. This is a rancho, not an oil field. And then he threw them out.
I reckon Magnuson didn't want to take no for an answer. Probably didn't care much for being tossed out on his ear either.
He was furious. He said that he was only trying to be polite, that he could drill wherever he wanted, because much of the land that comprises Salida del Sol was granted to the Montero family by the King of Spain. The legality of those land grants, as far as the American government is concerned, is still a matter of some dispute.
So Magnuson regards most of your ranch as open range?
Si. There is a smaller area here around the hacienda that Francisco filed on again, once California became part of the United States. But he saw no need to file such claims on land the Montero family had been using for generations. Not long after that, Francisco died.
If you don't mind talking about it, what happened to him? Was he sick?
No. Despite his age, he was still a vital, healthy man. But he was thrown from his horse and struck his head on a rock. Pete found him shortly after it happened, but there was nothing anyone could do.
You're sure it was an accident?
You think someone might have killed him?
He'd already had a run-in with Magnuson. I saw for myself what that hombre's like when he's got a burr under his saddle.
In my grief over Francisco's death, I would have gladly blamed Magnuson. But Francisco lived for a short time after Pete brought him back here. And he told me himself how the buzz of a rattlesnake in the brush had frightened his horse. Francisco was an excellent rider, but even he could be taken by surprise. When the horse leaped away from the snake, he was thrown off.
That's a real shame. You have my sympathy and my condolences, Senora.
Some time has passed. The pain is not as great as it once was, but I still miss Francisco, and I will every day for the rest of my life. As I said, things had begun to happen even before Francisco's death. Magnuson moved one of his drilling machines onto Montero Range in one of the canyons northwest of here. When Pete and some of the men rode over there to tell him to get out, they were confronted by guards with rifles. That could have been a very bad day. A bloody day. Pete was cool-headed enough, though, to keep our men from going for their guns. Not long after that, our cattle began to disappear, and shots were taken at my men as they went about their business on the ranch.
Anybody been killed?
No, Dios be praised. Several men have suffered wounds, though. It cannot be tolerated.
Has anybody tried to track the bushwhackers?
Of course, but they retreat into the foothills, where the canyons are rugged and the trail is easily lost.
And Magnuson keeps moving in more and more drilling rigs.
Yes, he encroaches more and more on our land. I have complained to the sheriff, but he says that until the matter of ownership is settled in the courts, there is nothing he can do.
I appreciate you indulging my curiosity this way, Senora.
You are a guest in my home.
I hope you won't think me rude if I ask you to tell me more about your husband.
You mean how a woman such as myself wound up married to a man more than 30 years older? Oh, such things are common, you know. A rich old man, a young woman.
I mean no offense, Senora, I assure you.
And I take no offense, Mr. Morgan. You know nothing of us here in the valley. My family and Francisco's family have been friends for many years, for generations. My name was Dolores Sandoval.
Related to Jorge Sandoval?
You know the name, then?
I heard it.
Jorge is my brother.
He owns a ranch here in the valley, too, doesn't he?
That's right. And he believed that once Francisco was gone, Salida del Sol would belong to the Sandovals as well. He was wrong.
You didn't want to merge the ranches?
Why would I wish to do that? Salida del Sol is the largest, most prosperous ranch in the valley.
It'd be even bigger if it was joined with your brother's ranch.
I could not do that to Francisco. This is Montero Range. It will always be Montero Range.
Even though Don Francisco is the last of the Monteros?
A guest has responsibilities, too. One of them is not to pry too deeply in his host's affairs.
My apologies, Senora. But when you married Don Francisco, surely your brother had in mind...
You think my brother sold me to Francisco in exchange for Salida del Sol? That would make me no better than a common whore.
I've insulted you. That was not my intention. You have my sincere apologies.
I care nothing for your apologies, Senor Morgan. Your opinion is meaningless to me, and I know nothing of any arrangements made between my brother and Francisco. All I know that this is Montero Range, and I am a Montero, and I intend to fight for it until my dying breath.
I'd like to help you fight for this range, Senora Montero.
I have no need of a hired gunfighter.
I keep telling folks I don't hire out my gun. But for some reason, they don't want to believe me. I'm offering to help as a friend.
A friend? I never met you until today.
No, but I'm friends with a man named Claudius Turnbuckle.
Turnbuckle? He is a lawyer?
That's right. He's John J. Stafford's partner. And I'm a client of Turnbuckle and Stafford just like you.
But you are...
A gunslinger and a saddle tramp? Appearances can be deceiving, Senora. The important thing is, I'm here... And I'd like to help you put a stop to your troubles.
You came here to California to help me?
That's right.
And yet you begin by killing one of my men, shooting him down like a dog.
Not hardly. He had a gun in his hand, and he was shooting at me, like I told you.
I know. You had no choice. I think perhaps I believe you, Mr. Morgan. I know how rash and reckless Lonnie could be, how quick to anger. His friends know that, too. But they may not be able to forgive you anyway. I cannot hire you.
I'm not looking for wages.
I cannot even make a pretense of it. The men would never accept it. And there is enough trouble on Salida del Sol these days.
All right. But can you use your influence to get all the ranches in the valley together? I understand that Stafford represents most, if not all of them.
Why do you desire such a meeting?
I'd like to talk to all of them. Find out just what's been happening on their ranches. I'm starting to get an idea of what's going on around here, but I'd like to get all the information I can.
If you truly want to help, I can tell you what you need to know. Victor Magnuson is to blame for the trouble. The other Wildcatters may be involved in it with him, but he is the ringleader.
You're probably right, but I'd still like to talk to the other ranchers.
Very well. I will send word to them. Where should this meeting be held?
About here. Looks like you got a nice big barn out there that would hold plenty of people.
Está bueno. When?
The sooner the better. Tonight?
I will see what I can do. Where can I get in touch with you if I'm not able to arrange the meeting?
I'm staying at the Netto Hotel in Los Angeles. So is Stafford. You should be able to find one of us there.
Very well. We have, as you Americans say, a deal.
Shake on it?
I don't think so. I'm still not sure I fully trust you, Mr. Morgan.
Maybe we can do something about that, too.
Since he'd had a good meal and had made some progress of a sort with Dolores Montero, Frank didn't see any reason not to head back to town until it was time to return to Salida del Sol for the meeting with the other ranchers that evening. Assuming, of course, that Dolores was able to set it up on such short notice. Frank thanked her for her hospitality and left the hacienda, heading out to the barn to pick up Stormy and Wolf. Pete Linderman was the only one inside the cavernous structure when Frank entered. He sat on a keg and glanced up at Frank and gave the drifter a curt nod.
Morgan, enjoy your dinner with the senor?
It was a fine meal. Pleasant company, too.
Better than you have any right to expect, considering what you did. I sent Jeff out onto the range with some of the other men and told him to keep an eye on him, not let him double back toward the ranch. Are you leaving?
Heading back to Los Angeles.
Probably be a good idea if you stayed there, or anywhere else except here.
Well, now that's going to be a problem, because I'm riding back out here this evening.
Son of a bitch.
I don't take kindly to being called that, Linderman.
I'm not calling you that, Morgan. I'm just surprised, that's all. I wondered if she might try to hire you. I reckon she did.
Senora Montero, you mean?
Who else? I don't blame her for getting a little desperate. If we keep on having problems with Magnuson and his bunch, it might get bad enough so she has trouble hanging on to the ranch. This place means the world to her, but to hire a gunslinger and kill her? Don't set right with me.
It doesn't set right with me for folks to think they know the truth about me when they don't. For what it's worth, and I don't owe you any explanations, Linderman. Senora Montero didn't hire me. Didn't even try to. That doesn't mean I'm through with Salida del Sol. I offered to help her with her problems, and she's accepted.
What? I thought you said...
She didn't hire me. Not unless you count a good meal as the only pay I'll get. Seems to me like she's in a bad fix here, and I'd like to help out.
Out of the goodness of your heart?
Because I don't like to see a woman being taken advantage of. And to tell you the truth, because I didn't much cotton to Victor Magnuson.
Yeah, he rubs me the wrong way, too. So now we've got a gunfighter on our side.
I'm gonna poke around and see what I can find out about your troubles.
You won't have to poke very much. Magnuson's to blame for all of it. Him and those other wildcatters. But mostly Magnuson.
If I can get proof of that, the sheriff will have to act.
Sheriff's in Magnuson's hip pocket. Those oil men are bringing a lot of money into this area. The authorities aren't going to go against them.
With enough proof, they won't have any choice. It'd sure make things easier if I could count on you and the rest of the crew not to interfere with what I'm doing, Linderman.
I make no promises except this one, Morgan. I'll steer clear of you, and I'll tell the rest of the boys to steer clear of you. But I can't guarantee that they'll listen to me, especially Jeff. He and Lonnie were pards for a long time. Ever since they were kids.
And he ought to know how Lonnie was.
Knowing and caring are two different things. Like I said, I'll do what I can, but you better keep an eye on your back trail, Morgan.
I always do.
Frank rode out a few minutes later, after explaining to Linderman about the meeting that would be held there at Salida del Sol that evening. The foreman was still unfriendly, but he promised that he would see to it that the other ranchers in the valley got the word. As he rode back through the valley, Frank became aware of the unnatural smells and noises that filled the air. A constant scent of brimstone lingered, and the clanking and clattering and rumble of engines sounded, instead of the lowing of cattle and the songs of birds and the rustling of small animals in the brush.
I know, Wolf. Things sure as hell aren't like they used to be around here. This was a mighty pretty place 10 years ago, and before that, too, of course. But once things change, they hardly ever go back to the way they used to be. Now, you can mourn the past, but you can't change it. Ah, no, you didn't ask for any homespun philosophy, did you?
Things were even worse on the other side of the Santa Monicas because there was more drilling rigs in Los Angeles proper. Seemed like everybody's front yard or backyard had one of the tall wooden derricks in it. They were about to crowd out the homes and businesses on some streets. The racket was hellish, and so was the smell. When he reached the livery stable behind the hotel and began unsaddling Stormy, Frank turned to the hostler.
How do you stand it?
The smell, you mean?
That and the noise.
That's the smell of money, mister. And the noise might as well be coins being minted.
Folks are willing to put up with a whole lot just for money.
Story of the world, ain't it?
Yeah, I reckon. Stay, Wolf.
Frank then headed for the hotel. The same clerk was on duty behind the desk who had been there the previous afternoon.
Is Mr. Stafford in?
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Morgan. I believe I saw him go into the bar a short time ago, sir.
Thanks.
Anything else I can do for you, Mr. Morgan?
No, I don't reckon there is.
Frank spotted John J. Stafford sitting at a table in the corner and started in that direction. Stafford saw him at the same time and lifted a hand in greeting.
Are you about to ride out to the Montero Ranch?
Nope, already been there.
Already? You must have started very early.
I've never been one for burning daylight. Everything you told me was right. The ranchers out in the valley seem to be in a bad way. What with those oil wells crowding in all around them.
Is that a bruise I see on your face?
I wouldn't be surprised. I had a little run-in with some Victor Magnuson's drillers. A while later, I met the man himself. It wasn't a very friendly meeting.
My God, what happened? Were you injured?
Nothing to speak of, just a few bumps and bruises, like the one you noticed. I got in a ruckus with a fella named Hatch.
Good Lord, Hatch is a monster. And you fought him with your fists? Why didn't you just...
Shoot him. As far as I could see, he was unarmed. Gunning him down would have been murder.
I meant no offense, Mr. Morgan. It's just that Hatch is considerably larger than you, and he's beaten men within an inch of their lives on several occasions.
I was able to whittle him down to size.
And what about Magnuson? You said you met him too?
He came out to Salida del Sol while I was there. He was looking for me, in fact. He'd heard about my ruckus with Hatch and figured that I worked for Senora Montero. She set him straight on that.
You weren't able to get a job on the Montero Ranch as you planned?
Yeah, that idea sort of blew up in my face. They found out who I am.
Frank explained about Lonnie and Jeff and everything that had happened the day before.
I think Senora Montero was sort of intrigued by the idea of hiring a fast gun to deal with Magnuson, but in the end, she wouldn't do it. Not that I would have hired on to kill him anyway. By the way, you didn't tell me that Senora was so much younger than her late husband.
Nor that she was so attractive. She is a lovely woman.
And you're old enough to be her father, too.
Yes, of course, I didn't mean to imply that...
Never mind. Senora Montero's looks don't have anything to do with her problems. I persuaded her to let me help her anyway, even though she didn't hire me. I told her about my connection with you.
Good, good. Might as well put our cards on the table, I suppose, since your original idea didn't work out. What are you going to do now?
First thing is to have a meeting with all the other ranchers. They're going to be at Salida del Sol this evening, unless the Senora lets me know different. I want to talk to all of them and get a better sense of everything that's going on in the valley.
That sounds like a fine idea. Should I attend this meeting with you?
That probably wouldn't hurt. You represent most of them, don't you?
All of them, except Edwin Northam.
They might be more inclined to trust me if their own attorney is there vouching for me. Can you be ready to go in a couple of hours?
Of course.
Your buggy's in the stable behind the hotel?
That's right.
I'll see you over there then in 2 hours.
What are you going to do in the meantime?
Figured I'd clean up a mite and see if there's a laundry around here that can get these stains out. I got him wrestling around with Hatch.
I still can't believe you were able to defeat that brute in hand-to-hand combat.
Well, it's not a waltz I'd care to repeat anytime soon.
Stafford was waiting at the livery stable when Frank got there a couple of hours later. He was wearing clean trousers and had left the oil-stained jeans at a laundry down the street where the pigtailed proprietor had promised that he could get the stains out. The lawyer was already sitting in his buggy, ready to go. Wolf sat a few yards away with his tongue lolling out, and Stafford eyed the big cur warily.
The hustler tells me that animal belongs to you. Is that true?
He and I are old trail pards, all right.
Is he safe? Does he bite?
Only folks who need biting.
Well, I'd appreciate it if you'd keep him away from me. I don't like dogs.
He won't bother you. I'll see to that.
Thank you. Are you ready to go?
Soon as I saddle up.
Frank put his saddle on Goldie this time, since he had ridden Stormy out to the Montero Ranch that morning. When he had agreed to take Goldie, after the stallion's former owner had died trying to gun down Frank, he hadn't been sure about having two horses, but being able to swap them had worked well so far, and it kept both mounts from getting too played out. That meant it would be longer before Frank had to make the painful decision to put Stormy out to pasture. Frank rode out a short time later, with Stafford rolling alongside him in the buggy. Goldie wanted to run, but Frank held him in so that they wouldn't outdistance the vehicle. The stallion didn't like it, but he cooperated. As usual, Wolf followed along. The small group made it through the pass over the Santa Monicas by dusk and started down into the San Fernando Valley as night began to settle over the landscape. Frank knew they wouldn't have any trouble following the road, even after it got dark. Dots of yellow light were scattered through the canyons and across the broad floor of the valley like stars tumbled from heaven. They marked the locations of the oil rigs, Frank realized. Even with night falling, the drilling continued. It probably went on 24 hours a day, he thought. Hundreds of feet below the earth, where the metal drill bits gouged deeper and deeper through dirt and rock, night and day had no meaning. They were about a half a mile from Salida del Sol when the shot was fired. The Colt on Frank's hip seemed to spring into his hand of its own volition, and he leveled the gun on the spot where he'd seen the muzzle flash.
Stafford, get out of here!
Frank didn't think he would hit the bushwhacker unless it was by a stroke of luck, but he hoped to come close enough with the shots to make the varmint duck. Stafford slashed at his team with the reins and sent the two horses lunging ahead. The buggy careened down the road after them. Frank sent Goldie lunging around the rocks.
Wolf! Hunt!
The big cur was a gray streak in the gathering gloom. He disappeared among the rocks as Frank circled them in an attempt to get behind the bushwhacker. He had recognized the sound of the first shot as the whip crack of a Winchester. A rifle wasn't the best weapon for close work, as the man would find out if Wolf cornered him. That seemed to be what was happening. Frank pulled Goldie to a halt and swung down from the saddle before the stallion stopped moving. Gun in hand, Frank charged into the cluster of boulders, following the screams and Wolf's ferocious snarls. Concern for his old friend surged through Frank. He didn't have long to worry, though, because the next second, a dark shape loomed up in front of him. The faint red glow left in the western sky by the sunset glinted off the barrel of a Winchester as it swung toward him. Both weapons roared at the same instant. The rifle shot ricocheted off of one of the boulders behind Frank. The bushwhacker was knocked backward, driven off his feet by Frank's bullet striking his chest. The rifle slipped out of the man's hands. Frank hurried forward, intent on making sure the wounded man didn't try to pull a six-gun, but before he could reach the fallen bushwhacker, Wolf appeared again, leaping at the man with fangs slashing and snapping. Frank was glad to see that the big cur was still alive, but he called him off anyway.
Wolf, back!
Wolf backed away from the bushwhacker. Frank grimaced. Even in the dim light, he could see the dark stain that had flooded the man's collar and shirt. Wolf had torn out the man's throat. Frank fished a match out of his shirt pocket with his left hand while he kept the Colt ready in his right. The harsh glare of a match revealed the hard, unshaven features of a man Frank had never seen before. Frowning, he leaned closer and studied the bushwhacker's face. The varmint was dead, all right, no doubt about that. If Wolf hadn't killed him, Frank's bullet would have, because there was a neat black-rimmed hole in the man's breast pocket. Frank had drilled him through the heart. Straightening, Frank shook out the match, dropped it, and went over to Wolf. Kneeling next to Wolf, Frank ran his hands over the big cur, searching for wounds. All he found was a sticky lump on Wolf's head between the ears.
Walloped you with that rifle butt, didn't he, old fella? He couldn't dent that thick skull of yours, but he knocked you silly for a minute. Then he practically ran into me while he's trying to get away. And we can't even ask him who he was or why he tried to ventilate me.
Satisfied that Wolf was all right, Frank stood up and went back to the body. It was possible the man was a member of Dolores Montero's crew that Frank hadn't seen on his earlier visit to the ranch, but the man didn't really look like a cowboy, he decided, as he struck another match and took a look at the man's clothes. The jeans and work shirt could have belonged to a ranch hand, but the lace-up boots on the man's feet looked like those of an oil driller. A battered Stetson lay on the ground next to him, though, where it had landed when the man fell. Frank hadn't seen that many drillers in his life, but none of them had ever worn a hat like that, he thought. Having never seen the fellow before, and being unable to draw any firm conclusions from his clothes, Frank decided that the best thing to do would be to take the corpse to the meeting with him and see if anyone there recognized it. Frank hadn't even met any of the other ranchers in the valley yet. That could open up a can of worms if the man worked for one of the ranchers.
But if that was the case, why would this hombre try to kill me?
He fetched his rope from the saddle, looped the lariat under the dead man's arms, and tied it to the saddle horn.
Back up, Goldie.
Goldie dragged the man out of the rocks. Frank was about to leave the corpse there for the moment and go see where Stafford had gotten off to when he saw the buggy rolling toward him.
Mr. Morgan, are you all right?
Fine. What are you doing back here?
Well, I heard all those shots, and I didn't know whether or not you'd been hurt, so I thought I should come back and find out.
For all you knew, I was dead, and that bushwhacker was waiting for you.
Yes, I realize that, but we're working together. I couldn't just desert you. I have a pistol. I'm not very good with it, mind you, but I would have tried to help you.
I appreciate that, Counselor. There's one thing you can do for me.
Of course, whatever you need.
I hope you don't mind sharing that buggy with a dead man.
Frank got the feeling that Stafford minded all right. But the lawyer didn't make any complaints as Frank dragged the corpse over to the buggy and hefted it into the space behind the seat. They set off toward the headquarters of the Montero Ranch once again. But they hadn't gone very far when Frank heard the rumble of hoofbeats from a number of horses.
Hold on.
He raised a hand and a signal for the lawyer to bring the buggy to a halt. Frank pulled his Winchester from its saddle boot and levered around into the chamber as he waited to see who the riders were and what they wanted. The horsemen came into view, a dark mass in the shadows at first, that resolved itself into individual riders as they galloped closer. Frank estimated their number at a dozen.
What do we do, Mr. Morgan?
Just sit steady, Counselor. And it might be a good idea to keep your hand on that gun of yours until we find out who those hombres are. Don't start shooting, though, unless I give the word.
All right. But I wish I was back in a courtroom right now. I don't like all these guns in the night.
The riders reined their mounts in when they were about 20 yards from Frank and Stafford. They were well within range of Frank's rifle, but he wasn't going to start shooting until he knew who they were.
Morgan? Is that you?
It's me.
Who's there with you in the buggy?
Mr. Stafford, Senora Montero's lawyer.
Hello, Mr. Linderman.
The foreman walked his mount closer while the other men stayed where they were.
We heard some shots, and the Senora sent us to find out what was going on. She knew you were coming back out here this evening, Morgan, and she was afraid you'd run into some trouble.
We did, for a fact. Some varmint opened up on us from some big rocks back down the road a quarter of a mile or so.
Yeah, I know the place. Did you run the fella off?
Nope. He's behind the seat there.
Did?
That's right. Come take a look at him. I'd like to know if you ever seen him before.
Linderman struck a match and leaned over in his saddle to get a better look at the dead man. After a moment, he shook his head.
No, I don't know him. He didn't ride for the Senor, I can tell you that for damn sure. I don't recall ever seeing him around any of the other spreads in the valley either.
All right. Maybe somebody else on your crew knows him.
I wouldn't count on it. They can take a look when we get back to the hacienda. The Senora's waiting for you. It's all right, boys. Head on back to the ranch.
Stafford hitched his team into motion. The rest of the men galloped on ahead to let Dolores Montero know that Frank and Stafford were all right. Frank and Linderman fell in alongside the buggy.
What about the other cattlemen who have spreads in the valley? Have they shown up for the meeting yet?
Some of them. Dave Guthrie and Ben Patterson are there, and we passed Augusto Lopez as we rode out to check on those shots. Edwin Northam and Jorge Sandoval weren't there yet, but they both sent riders with word that they'd attend this meeting of yours, Morgan.
Well, that'll account for all the big ranchers in the area, right?
Yeah. There are a few small spreads, but they don't amount to much. What we used to call greasy sack outfits back in Texas.
You're from Texas?
No, but I cowboyed there for a while when I was a youngster. Never liked it much.